Welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we are concluding the broadcast of last year's Christmas Eve message. So let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
When your trials will be over.
And David, it says here, this is good news that he's bringing in, when he's bringing in the Ark of the Covenant. And this has to do with salvation. And so God declaring to the shepherds, to the angel here in the hills of Bethlehem, God is declaring good news and salvation, good tidings of great joy, and not to the Jews only, it says, and to all the people. That means us. That means us. The word good tidings in the Greek, euangelizo, and it means evangelism, is where we get the word evangelism from, telling people the good news. And what is the good news? For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's good news. The Savior has now been given, who is Christ, meaning the Anointed One, or the Messiah. And he has been given, meaning he has been sent. He is the one promised so long ago, and he is the only one that can save mankind from their sin. In Isaiah, verse 6 of Isaiah 9, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so we went over that this last weekend in great detail. But what we need to take from this right now is that a child is born. A son is given. This is the Messiah, the Anointed One. He is a gift. He has been given, and he's been given freely. Mankind did nothing to deserve this. He is a gift. He has been given. It is God's gift to humanity, a baby born into the world who is the Savior. Now, Matthew's account, if you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, we read this. Matthew's account, this is how the angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him that Mary is with child. In verse 20 of Matthew 1, it says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The only way he can save them from their sins is by dying for their sin. Thus, Jesus was born to die, being declared from the very beginning, because that's the only way he could save his people from their sins. Jesus would confirm this with Pilate at his trial. In John chapter 18, verse 36, when Jesus was asked by Pilate, "Are you the king of the Jews?" This is how Jesus responded. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you king then?" And Jesus answered, "You rightly say that I am king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." When Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," he was not saying he would not have a future kingdom in the world. Of this world and in this world are two different things, as Jesus himself makes clear in John's gospel. We see this time and time again. But in John 17, verse 11, where Jesus is praying to the Father in heaven, he says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world," speaking of his disciples, his followers. "And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." Then later on, in verse 14 of chapter 17, as Jesus is still speaking his prayer to the Father, he says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Well, earlier in verse 11 there, he says they're in the world. But now he says they're not of the world, because they are in the world, but they're not of the world. To be of the world is speaking of something completely different. It means you're of the nature of the world. That means all the power and authority from the world is what gets you your kingdom. Not so with Jesus, and not so with Jesus' followers. Jesus, those of us who are in Jesus' kingdom today, guess what? It's because we have put our faith in him. How does he expand his kingdom? By the force of the world? By the power and the authority of the world? No. He does it by giving the word, speaking truth. And those who hear the truth are his sheep, become his followers. Those who are not his followers are because they choose to reject the truth. And so I am not of this world, but I'm in this world. I'm in this world. Jesus was in this world, but he's not of this world. And so his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is not going to come to pass like all the kingdoms of the world has come to pass. His kingdom is going to come to pass because that authority comes from God. It comes from God. He says, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight like they do in this world when it comes to kingdoms. But so that I should not be delivered through. But now my kingdom is not from. Pilate would therefore say to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, says, you rightly say that I am king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus was born for this reason. For his kingdom to rule in the hearts of people. I have come into the world speaks of his deity, of being God. The fact that Jesus came to the world means he existed before his birth in Bethlehem. This is mentioned 8 times in John's gospel. In John 16, 28, he says, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world, go to the Father. He's speaking of his deity. And so not only does he tell Pilate his origin, he also explains his ministry. I should bear witness to the truth. Jesus' ministry was to bring about the spiritual kingdom, the one that is not of this world. The truth here means the truth about God, Christ himself, the Holy Spirit, man, sin, salvation, and all the other great doctrines of the kingdom of God. Those who love the truth hear his voice, and guess what? And he won the people to his kingdom through the conviction of his word and by speaking truth, not by force, not like the authorities of the world. Jesus spoke the truth of God's word. Those who respond to his call became his people. Those who receive what he said by faith. Rome's weapon was the might of the sword, but Jesus' weapon was the truth of God, the sword of the Spirit. Jesus was indeed a king. He was born into this world for the cause of salvation to those who would receive him as the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the one sent for sacrifice. Merry Christmas. That's what's being said there. Jesus is our gift, the salvation, a son given. Jesus himself spoke of himself as this gift from God. When he was before the Samaritan woman at the woman at the well, in John chapter 4, Jesus would say to her, if you knew the gift of God, it's a person. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Paul would say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Paul would then say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The Greek word indescribable means unspeakable in the sense that words fail. indescribable in that all descriptions fall short of the depths of the riches of this gift. Chuck Swindoll, also one of my heroes of the faith, said it this way. Creation was phenomenal, but it was not indescribable. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was frightening, but it wasn't indescribable. Abraham's willingness to lay his son on the altar and raise a knife above him to plunge it into his chest, remarkable, but not indescribable. Moses leading the Exodus away from the bondage of Egypt, fantastic, but it was not indescribable. The crossing of the Red Sea was magnificent, but it was not indescribable. The building of the tabernacle in the wilderness was amazing, but not indescribable. The construction of the temple under Solomon, very impressive, but not indescribable. David slaying Goliath, wow, but not indescribable. He cut off his head, and then, it was awesome. The way it's described. It's fantastic. Prophecies of Daniel are mind-boggling, but not indescribable. Even the preservation of the Holy Scripture is astonishing, but not indescribable. You see, when you come to the gift of God's Son, Paul tells us there's not enough words to describe the riches of that. God the Father sending his Son, pursuing us by sending his Son because he wants a way back for us into being right relationship with him. Right now, without God intervening by his Son, there is no way we can cure our sinful condition. Yet, but because of his great love, he sends his Son. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. It's a gift. It's a gift. And so Paul can't encapsulize, okay, the depths of all that. But he does come to a conclusion that if anybody that really understands the gift of Jesus Christ, you got to get here. You got to get here. He describes it in 2 Corinthians 5:14 by saying, it's the love of Christ that compels me or moves me or motivates me. This incredible love that the second person of the Trinity would be willing to give up his throne, willing to give up all that he has around him in the Godhead and be able to come in human flesh and actually walk this earth and go through and experience all the tragedies that we experience and then willingly offer himself up to pay the penalty for our sin. Paul says, when you really focus on that, you can only come to one conclusion and it should motivate you. And it's the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ that compels, that motivates you. To what? To having this understanding, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. What reason do you think the Lord died for us? Oh, it's just so we could be in heaven. It's just a way back. Go ahead and live your life the way you want to. Just receive him for that and go ahead and live your life the way you want to. No. He tells us right here, here's the reason, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but him who died for them and rose again. Don't you think that's the least we can do? I think so. It's the least and the most at the same time. If I am truly thankful for this gift that has been given to me, it should be seen in a changed life that now, because he gave his life to me, I now want to give my life back to him. And it's amazing to me that how long it takes, that it could be 10 years a person knows the Lord, 20 years a person knows the Lord, yet there's no change. And there seems to be no gratitude of how they're living their life to show how much they really appreciate that gift. Shame on us, and I'm part of that as well. But whenever you do a study and you're reading the Word of God, understand what first took place. God sent His Son to die for our sin. We've received that now. Now let's read the Word of God and see how wonderful and glorious He is and what it is He wants us to do. And do that. Because that's the only way you can truly show God you really do appreciate that gift that He has given. We didn't earn it. A gift is not earned. It is just given out of the love of the one giving it. It makes no sense in the sense of how we give gifts, because sometimes we think we deserve that gift. Why? Well, it's my birthday. Okay, you didn't do any work for your birthday. The gift should go to your mom. She did all the work. She went through all the labor. She went all through the pain. Every birthday, a gift should be going to mom. But that's not what it is. It has nothing to do with being what you deserve. A gift is freely given from the person who gives it. That's God giving us His Son. How can we not turn around and now live for Him? How is that possible? Unless we're distracted and our true understanding of life and the way it's supposed to be lived, we no longer see it through the lens of the one who sent His Son to die for us. Shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way. The reason that this night was serendipitous is because God chose to reveal Himself to common shepherds. And the reason this night, or any other night or day for that matter, for the rest of your life will no longer be ordinary, is because God has chosen to reveal Himself to them. Serendipitous. The reason why your life should no longer be ordinary is because you have met the living God. And when you did that, that was your serendipitous occasion. That was your time. Nothing should be the same anymore. You probably weren't looking for it when someone invited you to church. You probably weren't looking for it when you said yes to going to coffee with someone and they explained to you how much Jesus has changed them. You weren't looking for it, but it is God doing the same thing as He did with the shepherds. He is coming in. He intervenes into your life for that moment to give you that gift, to tell you that glorious news that in the city of David, a Savior has been born, and He is Christ the Lord. That's who He is. I've had my serendipity experience a long time ago. I received Jesus when I was 17, and then I got distracted. Then 10 years later, I had that serendipity experience again where God came to me, showed me in His Word how I left His first love. And I've never looked back since. That was a while ago. And I'm bound and determined to show Him how much I love Him by giving my life back to Him, to use me. My outlook is of one hope. I have discovered exactly what the shepherds discovered 2,000 years ago. I've discovered that. Savior's been given. His name is Christ the Lord. And just like they have seen Him and they received Him, I have as well, because a gift has been given. May I suggest that before you open your gifts tomorrow, you take time to reflect on the greatest gift a son has given. Before your kids open their gifts, let them know the reason we have gifts. And the gifts are a reflection of the one true gift that's been given to us. Why do you guys exchange gifts at Christmas? What is that all about? It's to remind us of the greatest gift that's given to us. Amen. And you can bring them to that point so they begin to attach gift giving because of God giving the greatest gift that there is. It's interesting that when it comes to man's need, we needed a cure for the remedy of sin. You've been healed from the death of separation from your Creator by the blood of the Lamb. How is that? Well, because God gave his son as a gift, the anointed one. He was specifically sent. In Galatians 4:4, it says, at that point, when the time had come, God sent his son to be born of a woman. Meaning that there was a certain amount of time, and that time means it is now fulfilled. Now is the time to send his son, born of a woman. He was sent, and he was sent to die. And he's our sacrifice. And that's what Merry Christmas means. Happy for the anointed one sent for our sacrifice. This is the meaning of Christmas, the birth of the Savior. And it's so important that God sent an angel with this good news to share with the shepherds. And then the multitudes of angels break in. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Quick little Max Lucado again. In the grip of his grace is this book. And he has here in the grip of his grace in the book that he wrote, stepping from the throne, the second person of the Trinity, the Son removes his robe of light, wraps himself in skin, human skin. The light of the universe enters a dark, wet womb. He whom angels worship nestled himself in the placenta of a peasant, was birthed into the cold night, slept in cow's hay. Mary didn't know whether to give him milk or give him praise. But she gave him both, since he was, as near as she could figure, hungry and holy. Joseph didn't know whether to call him junior or father. Good point. But in the end, called him Jesus, since that's what the angel had said. And since he didn't have the faintest idea what to name a God that he could cradle in his arms. Don't you think their heads tilted and their minds wondered, what in the world are you doing, God? Or better phrased, God, what are you doing in the world? Can anything make me stop loving you, God asks? Watch me speak your language, sleep on your earth, feel your hurts, behold the maker of sight and sound as he sneezes and coughs and blows his nose. You wonder, if I understand how you feel, look into the dancing eyes of the kid from Nazareth. That's God walking to school. Ponder the toddler at Mary's table. That's God spilling his milk. You wonder how my love will last? Find your answer on a splintered cross on a craggy hill. That's me you see up there, your maker, your God. Nails stabbed and bleeding, covered in spit and sin. Soaked. That is your sin I'm feeling. That is your death I am dying. That is your resurrection I'm living. That is how much I love you. A child is born. A son is given. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is a gift. He is the Christ, the anointed one. Sent from God for our sacrifice. Merry Christmas. Never can the bounds of darkness,
neither death nor even life. You have just heard from Pastor Dave Love from Calvary Castle Rock, continuing his teaching of the Christmas story. If you would like to download a free copy of this message in its entirety, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. Once you're on the main menu, select Teachings, and then View All, and then scroll to the bottom and select Christmas. Before you know it, Christmas Eve will be here. We hope to be a part of your day by joining us for one of our two Christmas Eve services. At 3 p.m., we'll be gathering at Festival Park in downtown Castle Rock. Or you can join us at 7 p.m. with childcare available at Calvary Castle Rock. Invite your friends and family. We look forward to celebrating together the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at a new time of 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.